Hey, Coop.
Yeah, Dylan?
Dude, you remember Macross?
Do you remember
Love and Meltron?
I think I might. We recorded a thing about that. I may potentially remember about that. Hey, welcome to that Dude You Remember Macross show. As always, I'm Coop with this handsome man who's named Dylan, right? Right? Do I remember that?
Thank you. Yes. I am handsome and my name is Dylan.
Oh my goodness, I was right. I thought I was going to be wrong.
Got it in one.
Yep, hole in one. First try, no scope, 420. Woo!
Oh my god.
Pro gamer.
What are we talking about today?
That's a good question. Today we're talking about the encore episodes of Macross 7, which are just basically, yo, here's some extra just chilling and living and vibing with the cast post the series, but this takes place near the end, so like in the last 10 episodes or so before they go, you know, try to drop a bomb on a frozen planet. But all right, so let's just jump on into this. We're both, as you can tell, we're pooped. Work the work is a thing adults do, and it's tiring.
It's true.
It's pro facts. But anyway, so let's start off with this first episode here. So, before the opening starts, we get the audience screaming, encore, encore, encore. And the theme song starts, Seventh Moon, and they start screaming. And it's a good vibe. Like being at a live concert, so I dug it. So after the opening's done, there's a bunch of recap on everything. And hey, we are at what we think is a concert. And Firebomber's playing Totsugeki Love Heart, the audience and Flower Girl are vibing. Oh, but no, it was just some footage that was recorded. It's on a morning show called Coffee Break. And the hosts there are talking about the history of Firebomber. And they have Akiko there. And then some music critic with a very, how can I put this? He sounds like a famous psychologist kind of name. and what was really funny, especially if you're like from a production background or in the theater, as the camera is zooming out, you see a crew member tying a cable together and he runs out of the shot.
Oh yeah, like, that was so good.
It's good. It's like, it's a live show. It happens. I was right. Like, I feel that. And then one of the bridge girls is watching the show, Miho, as we find out her name is later.
God, has it really been like this long before we learned her name?
Yeah. Because, you know, we didn't look at a wiki, but the show should have told us that, yeah. But whatever.
They just don't have the same immediacy as the others.
Yeah, poor run out for the Seven Bridge Girls. But Miho is watching the program, and they're about to get on to a bit about the band, and they start talking about Ray and how things started off and the Pink Pecker incident. And hey, there's some plus music in the background while they're showing the old Pink Pecker incident footage. And then we go to a guy who kind of looks like Ray walking around, finding a young boy who's singing under a bridge for food. Oh, yeah, this is a dramatization, a dramatic reenactment for television.
Of course.
Oh, boy.
It is very... like, at first... I was watching this and I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure Basara still had the spiky hair as a kid. Like, mm-hmm. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but, you know.
It's like, I don't know about that haircut. Okay. And the music guy goes on, well, Ray at this day was reborn by the power of song. And it's like, okay.
It's like, calm down. It's very, quote unquote, based on a true story.
Akiko shares her sentiment because she's like, I didn't hear it going that way, but this seems a bit over the top. But the critic's like, no, this is how it happened. This reenactment is true. It's real. We talked to five people. This is how it happened. And then Miho gets called by her coworker, the silver-haired girl, whose name I wish I knew, who's like, hey, let's actually dig into why Ray left at work tomorrow. Okay. And back at the apartment in Akusho, Ray has fried himself up some rice. And Mylene Malen, I'm going to screw it up. That's my legacy. Mylene shows up.
Can't escape it.
I can't escape from crossing fate. Shows up in these big aviator goggles, which upon looking at it, I mentioned this in a note here, a little further than this, reminds me a lot of Hisashi Eguchi's Stop Hibari-kun art, which I will send a photo of which to Dylan here shortly, because, boy, it's iconic. It's a good look. It's a very good look. Okay. Mylene's at the apartment. She's like, hey, where is Basara? Like, I want to talk about this concert. And he's like, I don't know. He's somewhere. He's in a place. And out in the city center, people are watching the show. Well, there's a big crowd around it watching to see the story of Fire Bomber. And the story apparently is that they went around, Ray and Basara went around towns. Their music wasn't understood, so people threw cream pies at them. And they had such a difficult life. And they run into a giant circus performer woman in the park who looks like the fetus. Right. And this Ray is like, oh, she has a good sense of rhythm because she threw knives into a building.
Yeah. No, that's how it happens. That's how it works.
Totally. That's, if you can throw knives into a wall, you are totally a drummer.
You know what this feels like? This feels like how they romanticized Mr. Krabs in the Krusty Krab training video.
I can see that. I can see that.
Like the crown jewel of any dynasty.
Boy, and just continuing on here, we see the actual Fetus hanging out on a rooftop, just being cool. He's like,
yeah,
and I'm just like, okay, you knew what you're doing. You knew what you're right. doing. So back in the flashback, the overly dramatic Ray gets run over in the hospital, and he's like, well, Basara, I got to send you to foster care. And Basara's like, I want to do music. And the narrator's like, on this day, Ray learned perseverance thanks to the young Basara. And Miho's watching still, and she's gone through all the cookies, and silver hair girl shows up to join her. It's like, I have more snacks. In the reenactment, they're not getting paid anymore. They're still misunderstood. Life is hard for Basara. The deepest pain he knows is hunger.
Until all the band members keep leaving because he's insufferable.
And then a kind baker dude's like, hey, you want some bread? And he's like, Basara's like, hey, you want this guitar? The guy just takes the guitar strap and says, keep it. And is like, hey, how about you give some bread to that giant woman too? Because I like you too. And so if they have the bread, they hang out. And apparently, according to this story, Basara left the guitar there for the baker.
He would never.
No.
He would never.
He wouldn't do that. He definitely wouldn't do that.
He'd be like, why would I do that? That's fucking stupid.
Yep. But the girls are eating it up and they're sad eating and they start fighting over their snacks. And the question then comes up during the interview. It's like, so when did the fetus get small, Akiko? And she's like, I don't know. She must have struggled to learn the drums, and smash cut to the fetus just killing it on the drums. I'm like, what are you talking right. about? What are you talking about? Right.
The fetus was always about the drums. I refuse to believe otherwise.
Yep. The street fighting was just a cover up. What are you right. talking about? And Flower Girl sees the band getting together on the roof, or starting to anyway. So she starts heading that way. And mostly because Basara is practicing with the fetus. And the hosts, when they go a little bit further in on the program, they're like, oh, we know nothing about Basara's past. Akiko is like, I don't know. And apparently they have a reporter who went to his hometown, a little town in the mountains on Earth. And the only thing they know about him is, hey, he was in the background of this one guy's photo. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, that's the kid who always sang at mountains. And that's all they know about him. And Mylene is still looking around town for everybody. And soon they notice, oh, everybody else is on the roof. And everybody else around her realizes and starts crowding around the building. And there's a little kid that shouts bomber. It's great. It's awesome. And then here's an actual flashback to Ray finding Basara coming from the mountain. And then some years later, when he's working on a construction site, he finds Basara's like, hey, you want to move mountains with me? And then we switch to another flashback where Fafitas fights this giant dude and she wins. And as she's walking away, she goes past a young Basara playing, and she stops to see him. And then in the present, Mylene finally understands what's going on and runs that way. And the rando in the crowd's like, hey, make some space. She's late. She's got to get to the show. And we go back to a flashback of actual Basara being like talking about singing at the mountains. And on the program, the question of, oh, so when did Mylene join? But a production assistant runs in to give the host some news. Oh, there's a big surprise concert going on. And Akiko's like, let's not worry about the past or the future of Fire Bomber. They're a band about the now. So it's good.
I think the highlight of this episode is Akio.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just being like, yeah, gotta really make sure this story, this completely fabricated story that I just did, I wouldn't be surprised if she was the one who made it up for the press.
Yeah.
Like, she knows how to drum up a backstory.
So Mylene finally shows up, and Ray's like, hey, we didn't really plan this, so why are you being so huffy, you know? And it's like, oh, well, I wasn't told. Well, she eventually gets going after she's pounding a bit more. And the city gets going because Basara says fire, and the whole town says bomber
around them. Such a good moment.
It's good.
Such a good moment.
And obviously, everybody's on the plan to dance afterwards. It's
mwah. It's a fun time.
Yes.
Very cute episode. It is interesting to see where the truth begins and the lies end as far as Ray's life story.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was definitely a dramatic reenactment. But like, you know, you gotta wonder how much of that was actually like, Ray was on like, so, cause we know that like Ray was on some tough times after he left the military, but I don't think he ever talks about it much. So, yeah, it's a nice little obfuscated glance into his previous life.
It was very the Unsolved Mysteries version of the band of the formation of Firebomber.
it gives us a little bit more to think about, and I think it also makes it interesting to consider, like when you see him and Akiho interacting, like it, I think it just gives a little bit more, like, like if I ever do get around to rewatching Macross 7, I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye out for how they regard each other a little bit more.
But I think another interesting thing about this episode as well is, especially when you notice with Miho and the other bridge girl eating it up, that...
Also, I looked up her name just for you. It is Sally St. Ford. It's her full name. So, Sally.
Gotcha. Sally just sounds like... just because her last name is Ford, I just imagined her driving around in a space F-150.
yeah, that sounds about right.
So, Miho and Sally... like, they're eating up all the information in this program and kind of believing it. And I'm thinking about a bit of, like, this program, even though it's not true, people are going to eat up that story and believe it when you're at, like, a certain level of fame. And it also goes, rest in peace, Norm MacDonald said something about that as well at the end of a book. Or he was talking about, you know, I'm not going to be remembered for what actually happened. And the story that goes around tends to be what you're remembered for in these situations. And I just had a really good insight into situations like that, that I think does play a bit into this pretty well, actually. Again, rest in peace, because the Norm MacDonald clips on my feed the other day were much needed laughs.
right.
But that's all I have for this episode. Did we need to make the Dylan story? We'll put it. I'll get a camera. We find that, oh, we can cast Michael B. Jordan as you. Adrian Brody is Chris. I think we can make this happen. Take you on a Brody quest.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so before we get sick like Amelia is in this next episode, let's move on. So in episode 2 of Encore, Amelia is not feeling great. She's sick at home and she's worried that she's somehow on her deathbed. She's concerned that having been made small, that, it may have shortened her lifespan or something to that effect. Meanwhile, in Akusho, the band is
practicing. Amelia was in Egypt's land. Let Amelia go. That's all I can think of is Cameron from Ferris Bueller, like just staring up,
yeah,
like in his bed, going, "I'm dying."
I can see that.
It's very good.
It's good.
You're so fucking dramatic, Amelia.
Maximilian Genius's big day off.
Spend the entire day at the arcade.
That sounds about right. Gamer. Filthy gamer.
Filthy gamer.
So, back in Akusho, the band is practicing. Mylene makes a mistake. And Basara's like, "You made a mistake." And she's like, "I covered." And things then quickly change. She's like, "Oh, it's this time. I got to go have lunch with my mom." And at this lunch date, Amelia's like, "So you need to get married. And you need to do it with Basara." And she's like, "What? And what about gambling?" And then Amelia's like, "Well, he's an ace pilot. You know, I'm married an ace pilot. And he's never going to be home. And he's going to be emotionally unavailable. What are you talking about?" And Mylene goes straight to the throat and is like, so your marriage was pretty much a failure, right?
So savage.
Yes. Mealy's like, no shit.
Just but, fucking bury her.
Yeah. Oh, damn. But after that savage breakdown, she's like, Basara's not a pilot, so, you know, he's great for any woman. He'll be great for you. And he's like, I'm going to talk to Basara. And a little later on, Mylene's like, hey, Michael, you need to keep my mom from talking to him. You just need to do this for me. And then she goes to talk to her dad about it. And before she clarifies more on the situation, he's like, I don't want to end things with your mom either. But once he's informed, he's like, yeah, your mom's rushing it. I'll try and talk to her. But he is like, so who do you like, though? You know? And just kind of hanging out alone, Mylene thinks back to when she first met Gamla in the hospital, which was kind of a weird way to start a relationship. But, you know, when I met Basara, that was a little weirder. Because they met, there was a concert going on the Teletron. She runs out to it in town and pretty much runs into Basara and sticks him with an ice cream cone and messes up his shirt. And she's like, hey, I'll have it dry clean. He's like, no, we're good, and rips it. And she's trying to blame Guvaba on it. But Basara's like, it wasn't Guvaba. Guvaba's cool. We'll see you, homie. and in Akasho, Basara's thrown out a bass player. She's out of there. And Mylene shows up to audition. And she's a bit surprised that Basara's there. And after she plays for a little bit, she's like, hey, can I add some vocals too? And they start going at it. And Guvaba's like, this is good shit. This is good shit. And when they stop, the fetus is stopping so suddenly. Just really cracked me up. Like... It's good. So they're done playing. Basara's like, hey, you make the choice, Ray. And he's like, I like Guvaba, though. And Ray's like, I guess you're on board. And then we go back to the present. Mylene gets a call from Michael. Milia is trying to hook Basara up with her. And at the restaurant, Milia's like, so I want you to get with my daughter. And sitting right behind Basara is Flower Girl.
It's such a good cut. You don't realize she's in... Sorry. Yeah, finish, yep. Finish.
Oh, she jumps when she hears this. But yes, it is such a good cut.
The Flower Girl is just there in the table behind them. And you don't see her until the camera cuts after... Or I guess the storyboard shifts perspective after...
it's...
After Mylene says that... Or after Milia says that you should marry my daughter.
It's so good. But Basara is like, what? And of course, cut to the Flower Girl finally, and she's bummed. And Basara's like, well, she's just a kid. Milia's like, well, she'll be sexy soon. Which it cuts back to Flower Girl again. I'm like, oh my God. and Basara's like, oh my God. So... Elsewhere, Mylene runs into Gamlin, and he's like, so your mom is trying to hook me up with Miho. And we go to a flashback of them at an awkward arranged dinner, with Mealy in the middle and them off to the sides. And the whole time, Gamlin's face is red, and he has like this weird grin on his face, and his eyes twitching, because he's like, what the fuck is this? so good. And Gamlin talks more to Mylene. It's like, so how do you feel, you know? And she's like, I still want to see you, but my mom is being weird. And all this news has reached the bridge crew, and they're gossiping. And next,
as the bridge crews want to,
as they do. And Max breaks this up by coming on the bridge. He's like, what's going on? And Melia's like, okay, I'm going to wait for the wedding now and then I'll die. And she, after this, she's like, I'm going to just hop into my VF-22 and take off. And she heads into the Jamming Birds Bay and takes off some sound boosters. And that, of course, the bridge and Max and everyone's made aware of it. And she's like, puts herself out to the channel. She's like, I'm going to sing Light the Light and thank you all. And it's like, oh, this is a swan song thing. Huh. How about that? And Max is like, I'm going to change the channel because this is embarrassing. And but no, she locked them all out. Everybody has to see this. And Basara and crew comes on the scene. And Basara's like, you know, Basara sees it first. Again, we'll have herself. And he's like, you know, she's pretty good. And Lilian's like, no. And the bridge is trying to figure stuff out. And Chiba's like, hey, Max, she came to me worrying about dying due to being made small. But actually, she just has a cold. She's going to be fine. That's good. And Gamlin shows up in his 17. And he's like, hey, come sing with me, Gamlin. And because I'm going to die after this anyways, so you know. And the Firebomber shows up. Better do it now. Firebomber shows up with the sound boosters. And he's like, oh, everybody's coming up to sing with me. And Mylene is, of course, super embarrassed. But Sarah's like, you're good, Granny. And she's like, Granny, before she's like, Bomber, because he says fire, she says bomber, and they all join in together, and Gamelin too. And we, from there, we see, as the song's playing, we see scenes from around the city, like we see different, people, like for instance, we see those perverts who were selling panty pics of Mylene and the kid who had a thing for Mylene, Tony.
I forgot about Tony.
Mm-hmm. And everybody throughout the fleet is just vibing. Oh, and then there's Collar Boy, whose name I forgot, hanging out with some of those other actresses. And Max is just sitting there drinking his coffee like nothing. It's great. It's great.
It's all fine.
Amelia's doing good afterwards. She's like, oh, you guys extended my life, so I'm good. And Amelia's about to talk a bit more with Mylene when Vafitas chimes in. It's like, so, who do you like? And the episode ends.
It's I think that might be the funniest close in any of these episodes so far. Like, just like, because I think it's just how straight-faced Vafitas is.
Yeah,
It's like, gotta make a choice, Mylene. Not a whole lot to say about this episode. Just a really fun, fluffy episode. It's nice that, I think I said this last episode we recorded, but it's nice that they're just letting Melia be silly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she's an overbearing mom, but like, not in not in like a stereotypical way. Like she's kind of quirky in her own way. And I feel like the whole show, she's like kind of been like the mayor first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And we only really kind of start to see her personality shine like near the end. And I'm glad like in, the encore episode. And I want to say there was a scene or two in the movie, as well, where like, we just kind of see her loosen up a bit.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking like just Melia on the whole, because I don't think we see her in the next in Dynamite 7. But just on the whole,
that's because she died, Coop. Weren't you paying attention?
Oh yeah, she got Roy Fockered. She ate the pineapple salad. The
pineapple salad was the micronization. Whatever. Continue.
But no, we definitely see, like, she's had so much character progression in comparison to the original series. Like, things in her life change, but you, like...
Are you telling me falling in love with a gamer isn't character? I'm sorry to our listeners, but that will never get old to me.
No, I don't blame you. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. But just seeing, especially her and Max, how they've changed so much since the original series, since it's been like 30 years or whatever. It's just, they've changed a lot, and it's cool to see them change. Or like, kind of like in how real life, where you could say like parts of you are the same from who you were 5 or 10 years ago, but in a way you're kind of very much a different person in other ways, which is something I really dug. But speaking of looking at who you were maybe like 5, if not longer, years ago, do you want to look at this next episode, Dylan?
Yes, let's.
Okay. So, speaking of the past, back in the glory days of Max and Milia, Mylene is remembering love. She's singing the song, and we're popping in to shots as she's singing, intercut with shots of the Macross 7 being a fleet being attacked in by what apparently seems to be a bunch of Q-Rows. Flower Girl is scared by the alarms. Hey, look, there's a shameless panty shot. We need one at least in the show.
I'm honestly surprised it took this. Well, okay, there's definitely been panty shots in this series before.
But not a Flower Girl, I don't think.
Not Flower Girl. I guess, like, you know, the fans were clamoring for it, and, you know, they waited until the last minute.
They're like,
the people who demanded Flower Girl panty shot. Finally got their wish.
The fans were like, Soji, Soji, we need those panties that are white as the driven snow.
Oh,
please,
my God, disgusting. Large
Shoshi.
Stop. Why are you still talking?
Oh, okay.
That's good podcasting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now this is podcasting.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
So, like I said, it's being intercut with the fight. And they're fighting Q-Rows, the Diamond Forces, and Umbra Forces are in the scramble. And Max recognizes them as Q-Rows, and XL's like, that's probably a rogue fleet of Meltrans. And, oh, we get a recap of a rough thing that happened near the end of the original series.
A rough overview of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Zentradi are a thing. They know Git culture. But then culture happened. So everything okay.
And then they get small.
Very important detail.
So after all that, I noticed a lot in this episode specifically, there's old shots they're reusing, but they reuse them so well. So it's not such a big deal. Like most of these recreation shots are from those episodes where they're making the special. So if there's something that both the original series and this series is good at, it's reusing footage in creative ways. So like, high five to you, Macross 7 creative team.
Really killing it in that regard. Mm-hmm, the cost saving measures.
Mm-hmm. So the Sound Force eventually joins in on the fight, and Chiba sends out the boosters with them, and they start powering to the dream, but there's kind of some firepower that takes them out, and Mylene's like, these guys are even better than my mom, and Basara doesn't want to leave, but Ray's like, we're getting out of here. There's a gold Q-Row that goes flying by. Emilia recognizes it. And the bridge is trying to ping the fleet, so they talk to them. But in the hangar bay, Basara is on edge, so he didn't get to sing. And he wants these repairs done quick. And on the Bell 7 bridge, Max is like, Okay, Amelia. So what can you help me to avoid more complex? You know, there's a thing we have to do. And as they're doing it, the Meltran commander, Chloré, finally pops on in and is like, "Oh, Amelia, you're here." And she's like, "It's kind of weird that you're speaking some Earth language. Like, I'm not going to talk to you, small people." No, we'll let you go if you surrender to us, but...
The fucking, like, I think the best thing about her is, like, the second Miria appears, or Amelia, sorry, appears, she's like, "Oh, hey, bitch."
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She's very much like, "Oh, it's you. What makes you think I'm gonna listen to... Oh, you got shrunken down? Oh, boo-hoo, poor baby." Just, like, the absolute toxicity of this bit.
The rivalry has restarted.
Yeah.
They were rivals back when they were in the military together. But the UN brass pops in. It's like, "Hey, you just kill them. We don't care. You don't try anything. Just kill them. Like, don't talk to them." And Exodol's like, "I don't think we can do much without Minmay here." And
oh, ye of little faith.
Oh boy, you precious small big brainy man who's large. Chloré's advisor, who's like Tranquil is her name, I believe, is all like, "Yeah, that Exodol guy, he was with that traitor Britai. That guy sucks." And Max and Amelia fly out towards the fleet, and Chloré's like, "Okay, what are they gonna do? What do they want?" It's like, "I don't know." And a guy from Earth pings in on the Seven Bridge, like, "Hey, why haven't you nuked them yet?" And Exodol's like, "Okay, we'll separate the ships, we'll turn into a Macross and shoot some stuff." Mylene is surprised to hear later on that her folks have headed on off, and she was like, "You're probably trying to use some culture shock on them." And Tiba's like, "Okay, we finished work on the first two speaker pods. We're going to send you out with the first one. Y'all are going to have to use this little thing called a Minmay attack." And Max and Amelia get into... They head towards the bridge of Chloré's ship. And it's kind of nice. And the word that came to mind, kind of quaint compared to all the crazy proto-Tevlin stuff, to see Centrati and Valkyries at the same size again. It's like,
yeah,
we haven't seen this in a while. This seems relatively normal.
A minute.
It was pretty nice, I gotta say.
a little blessed to the past.
Mm-hmm. And then Max and Amelia get out of their Valkyries, and Chloré starts berating her. And Amelia's like, "Well, I'm married with children now." It's like, "What? You what? And
excuse me?"
Mm-hmm. And they're gonna kiss it, but Amelia's like, "Hey, Max, we're not getting back together or anything. I just need this to stop." And they kiss, and the ladies start freaking out, and Max is all like, "Nah, I'm gonna take this kiss while I have it. So sorry." Yeah. And Chloré starts shooting out of panic, and Tranquil locks them up and is like, "I don't want cooties. Don't give us cooties. What are you talking about?
Cooties are gross.
Nah. Those nasty boys got the cooties, and now they're with you now. So now."
Mm-hmm.
Leo and Brass wants them dead. So Exodol's like, "Okay, my gun's charging." But Miho's like, "But Max and Amelia are still on the ship." And Exodol's like, "Can you just repeat what I said to you?" "Okay." Basara's not crazy about this either. And Chiba's like, "The sound boosters are good to go. And you know, we'll use a Minmay attack." And Mylene starts doing a more low-key version of "Do You Remember Love?" And apparently the Q-Rows are coming all after her, without the permission of Chloré. And they're acting differently towards her than Minmay ever would. And they're firing, and they're missing. Like, they're not... No shots they're making or connecting with anything.
Right, they're just flipping the shit.
And the Battle 7's ready to fire, and Exodol's like, "Here are the coordinates." and Basara folds in right in front of the ship with a speaker pod gamma. So the big rocket launcher, it shoots it right into the Meltran bridge. And they're like, the fuck? Is this a dud? And he starts Totsugeki-ing them. And Chloe like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And she hops into her Kurau and starts running after Basara. And everybody goes confused, and she goes feral. And the Macross cannon's about to go off. And she's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Basara. And she's like, de culture, Basara. Katrin de Basara culture. So, you know, a yak. Yak de culture.
Yes, very much like, how disgusting.
But the cannon fires, but they completely miss. Like, it was meant to be a dead shot. And all the Meltran ladies are going crazy for him while shooting their guns into the air and all over the place. It's kind of great. And when the brass is like, why didn't you hit them? Exile's like, well, I haven't been on the bridge much before. I'm really bad at commanding. And of course, everybody knows what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Chloe is now a big Basara fangirl and shooting her guns, as is everybody else.
We've gone full Beatlemania.
Mm-hmm. Fangirl gunfire. That's when you really make it as an act. And then we end it with a complimentary 2B bomber. So those are the Encore episodes. And like you said, they're fun fluff, and I feel that they're really good.
The animation for that last one especially was like something else.
It was really good, especially because we haven't seen Kurau. The only other time we saw Kurau was in the movie, I'm pretty sure. So, or anything, anything really Meltran or Centrati, except for Vefitas and some of the people on the Seven. Like, that was nice.
Right.
That
was it's not super frequent.
Mm. But,
Take a look. Let me think about like what to, if there's anything to comment on. 2B Bomber was a fucking phenomenal like I love it when they replace the 2B continued or you know what's next with like a little fun like this is the end or you know in Cowboy Bebop's case you're going to carry that weight. But 2B Bomber is great. I love that for some reason.
It's a good compliment to 2B Fire at the end of the show proper.
Yes. 2B Fire, 2B Bomber. So cute.
I do think these episodes are like a really good end cap to the show because it just kind of shows some fluff while also being all like, yo, we're kind of just celebrating the show and at the end in this episode. It's really nice that with these episodes as well that it was kind of, especially this last one, that kind of celebrated the bits and pieces from the original series too. Like we said, because we haven't had any Centrati stuff and like poking fun at like the very famous kiss moment where everybody goes nuts and all that. So
yeah,
because it
felt like a greatest hits.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, God, is there anything else I want to add? I guess I really don't have much to say, unfortunately. Macross 7 has just been, like, really fluffy fun. And it's nice to see these characters. And, yeah, it's good vibes.
Same. And that means next time we have to talk about space whales, Dylan.
Yeah, okay, let's get to that. Let's get to the space whales.
So get some Star Trek V up in here.
I was about to say, space whales seem like a more common trope in science fiction than one would initially think, and I'm not entirely sure why. Maybe Star Trek V was the trendsetter.
I'm going to have to probably say yes on that. But we'll see. It's been a while since I've watched Dynamite 7, so I just know the Japanese word for whale is Kujira, and you're going to hear Yoshiyuki Fukuyama scream that a lot, that he loves the whales. Kujira. Yeah, that
sounds about right.
That sounds about right, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yes, so that is it for this encore of Macross 7. As always, you can find us at our home, anchor.fm/dude2remember. They are kind enough to push us on over to Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Your Uncle's Podcast Shack. It's not a real app, but I bet somebody will come up with it.
You should patent that.
I'm registering the domain right now. Thank you.
You should make that a cryptocurrency name.
But if you want to reach out to us, feel free to write a review or email us at dyrmcast@gmail.com. Or if you want to shout at us, at DudeRemember on Twitter. As always, thank you to Mr. Chris Eakins, artist, game developer, music guy. He does a lot of things for the game Wrist System, for providing the show's key art. To see more of his work, check out WristSystem_game on Twitter. That game is now out on everything but the PlayStation right now, so you have no excuse not to go check it out if it's up your alley. And then, Dylan.
Yes.
Tell me about the show you do with the guy who's getting married and the other show you do with the guy who's getting married.
Well... Yes, I'm involved with two other podcasts, both with a friend of the show, Chris Wilson, voice actor. So the first is Backstage Gaming, where we talk about video games and storytelling and how video games tell their stories, and also other neat little artistic things that give a game its atmosphere or create an emotional response in the player. And if that sounds cool to you, you can check us out at www.bsgpod, that is bsgpod.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook and on Twitter, where our handle is at bsg_cast. And then, you know, our podcast is also available on all the channels Coop mentioned previously for the podcast that you're currently listening to. In addition, I also am part of the Unexplored Places, which is a actual play podcast where we tell a story through tabletop gaming, and we are currently on season 2. We are close to wrapping it up. Tango Sector is the name. Scum and Villainy is the game system. Had a brain fart there for a second. Sorry. And don't do that. we play as smugglers, hackers, general outlaws who do a lot of stuff around the backs of the various factions that make up Tango Sector. And if, you know, a Firefly-esque action-adventure romp through the magic of tabletop gaming sounds cool to you, you can check them out at UnexploredCast, or on Twitter at UnexploredCast, or on their direct feed, unexploredcast.libsyn.com.
Dope.
Don't know why that was so difficult for me this week.
It's all good. It's all good. And if you want to scream at either of us, you can find me at Twitter, at Rider Strike. And where can they at you, Dylan?
My Twitter handle is at the Dilla. That is THA_DILA.
So while you were reading that, and after like around the time I made the fart noise with my mouth, I was thinking to myself, does this mean when we introduce Chris, we can say friend and certified wife guy Chris Wilson?
Oh my god. Yes, I should hope so.
Okay.
Also, as of this recording, our friend Chris is getting married this evening. So,
that's
where that comes from.
That's the next BSG episode. It's like, you just you don't call him Chris, you just call him wife guy the whole episode. You never explain to him why.
The episode I have to pitch to him is like marriage mechanics in like Dating Sims and Harvest Moon and Fire Emblem.
There you go. There you go.
There, I figured it out.
There you go. True matrimony. The matrimony equation. Wow, that sounds...
The matrimony equation sounds rad as hell.
It also sounds slightly dystopic, but
No, it's probably because the next Macross show, or the next concept in a Macross show. Dr. Chiba's next project is the matrimony equation.
Oh boy. So the fix of that marriage. But yes, as always, that was us. Hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. Toodaloo.
Toodaloo.